Top second hour here on Sports Daily. Glad you could join us. Shane and Bruce with you here on KFH. KU has another big week slash weekend in men's basketball and football, of course. KU taking on Marquette in the preseason NIT. Brian Haney, the play-by-play voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, is on the clock. It'll be KU and Marquette from New York tonight, at coming off of LeGerald Vick's two monster games over Vermont. He had, 32 against Vermont and 8 three-pointers. And Louisiana, he had 33 more. LeGerald Vick off to an unbelievable start as they play Marquette coming up tonight. Brian Haney joining us on the Tad's Locker Room Hotline, number two KU and Marquette, plus KU and Texas Friday morning in football with KU chance to play spoiler in Beatty's final game as acting head coach. Brian, good morning to you. How you doing?
Hey, doing well, fellas. Up here in Brooklyn, getting set for the NIT season tip-off event tonight with Marquette, and obviously excited about senior day on Friday. I won't be doing that game, but we'll definitely talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Really proud of the effort we saw from those 30 seniors last Saturday night, and hope we have a great turnout. Sorry, I'm in a lobby, and some people are louder than others in New York. I was so proud of the effort those kids turned in to perform as well as they did and compete as hard as they did and really give us a game, you know, to get excited about last Saturday for a senior class that was 25 strong throughout the year and now has ballooned to 30 somehow. Come out and celebrate those 30 kids on Friday because they deserve it. And I know they genuinely in their hearts believe they can win. And we all know how much fun it was the last time Texas came to town. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's much different circumstances. That was a Texas team that was kind of playing out the string under a coach that was about to be let go. It's a different circumstance a year later, 2 years later. But our kids deserve your support. So I really hope folks will get out there for senior day if you're not making the trip up here to Brooklyn.
Brian, obviously, the hiring of Les Miles was maybe the worst kept secret in all of college sports, but it's an interesting one. I think every Kansas fan should feel really good about it. You never know until you put it into application and see what the results might be. But just from a standpoint of putting Kansas football on the tips of tongues. So many people with the immediate identification of Les Miles and now the association with the University of Kansas already, he hasn't even, drawn up a play yet. It's been a big win for the University of Kansas.
No doubt. And the instant credibility a guy of his pedigree commands and injects into your program, the excitement in terms of season ticket sales, we were pumping that on Sunday night, the special edition Hawk Talk with Coach Miles, 1-800-34-HAWKS, KUathletics.com/tickets, by the way. And it's amazing to see the phones ringing off the hooks right now. Folks are getting on board. It's going to be even more exciting when he starts to announce staff around him because I think that, that's going to be critical in this whole process too. He's got plenty of life left in his coaching career and wouldn't have taken on this job if he didn't have, belief in his heart that he could turn it around and enough time left, in terms of how long he wants to coach and be a difference maker in molding these young men and all that. He wouldn't have taken it on if he thought he was just playing out the string and looking to collect one more check. Think about what it would do affecting his legacy adversely if he didn't do a good job here. So for those that wonder about hiring a 65-year-old head coach, I think he's got plenty of energy left. I think there's a lot of excitement about what he's going to be able to do in short order fashion. But it is going to be a tall task when you look at some of the scholarship numbers that are still challenges for Kansas, particularly the fact that he'll probably only have 15 scholarships to give in this first class. So he's going to have to get after it and make the most of the numbers he does have. But to me, it's all about what does the rest of the staff look like?
Yep.
And can he surround himself with some high-profile coordinators, some great recruiters at the positional coaching positions? And, there's a chance that a couple of guys from Beatty's staff, I think, have a great opportunity to stay. Clint Bowen, the defensive coordinator, honestly could coach for anybody in the Big 12. He's been offered by half the teams in the Big 12. So for anybody that questions, what about Coach Bowen? We just gave up 55, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, guys, he's our best coach. he has been a terrific, terrific valued member of this football program for over two decades now. And there's a reason why every head coach has wanted to hire him at Kansas, not because he's loyal and he's married to Miss Kansas and all that, because he's a really good coach. And there have been four or five guys in the conference to try to hire him away. And so I think Coach Miles will take a long, hard look at him. I think Tony Hull, given his recruiting ties to Louisiana, is a guy that will be considered. But it'll be interesting to see what ultimately that staff looks like. So I think that's the key. Because they are going to have to get after it aggressively in recruiting. And as he said, they're probably two classes away from being what he thinks they can be. But I think just the immediate day one mentality adjustment, and he talked about it on Hawk Talk of just what he hopes to instill in these guys. He thinks they can compete right away, even with what they have and what they'll lose with 30 seniors and probably will have a few guys transfer. He thinks they can come in and compete right away. I just think if you give this guy a couple of years and get his own players in the system, look out, because this could be a bowl team pretty fast. But it is going to be tougher before it gets easier, just based on the scholarship crunch. And that's his biggest hurdle to clear here in the next 12 to 24 months.
Friday morning, 9:30, right here on KFH, KU in Texas. They'll kick it off at 11 as Senior Day will be celebrated after slugging it out with Oklahoma last week, 55-40. The Jayhawks' 40 points were the most scored in a conference game in Beatty's four-year tenure at KU, so kind of going out with a bang. And Texas has still plenty to play for, Brian. Obviously, Kansas trying to play spoiler, but Texas still has a berth in Big 12 championship game on the line. They got into a knockdown dragout with Iowa State, 24-10. Sam Ellinger is banged up a little bit. And as you alluded to, I think this is what you were talking about, Texas lost to KU in 2016, basically ending the tenure of Charlie Strong. So with all those things pointed in that direction, I don't see any way that KU doesn't come out and put up another good fight and have a real legit chance to win this game.
Yeah, I completely agree. That particular night versus Texas, you could definitely see which team wanted it more. You won't have that edge going for you this time around because of what you mentioned that is there for the taking for Texas this year. But the want-to factor on the side of Kansas is pretty freaking strong. I think I've gotten to know some of these seniors like Joe Dineen and Daniel Wise over the last 3 years, and they have been so outspoken the last few weeks that they were going to finish these last 3 weeks strong, and they were going to get one more. And obviously it slipped through their grasp literally at K-State, and they fought so hard at number 6 OU. But to a man, they've all kind of circled Senior Day as the one they really felt like would mean the most to them, because they all have that picture that they took onto the scoreboard 2 years ago in 2016 when they beat Texas in overtime and how good that felt. And they want to go out like that. They realize a win on Friday won't put them in the postseason. It won't extend their careers at all. What happens Friday, win or lose, is it for them. But it could change the way they're looked at a little bit if they could add a second Big 12 conference win. And I already feel like this group helped turn the corner and close the gap in certain regards, certainly within the Sunflower State. The hard part is, what do you have backing them up? There is going to be a bit of a gap there. We've got some good juniors in the junior class, but the numbers in the freshman and sophomore classes are what are going to have to be bolstered with good recruiting this next 1 to 2 months to Les Miles and then the class after that, because we are losing so many veterans. But those veterans can hold their heads high regardless of what happens this week, because I do feel, you know, what they've helped us accomplish here has taken this program to a much higher level of competitiveness, and that's something you got to be proud of. So I hope we'll have great support. I hope there'll be a true 12th man in the crowd. I know that was discussed a little bit in our last home game, but these kids deserve it, and I do think they have a great chance to win this game, because if the offense performs the way it did, and I realize OU's defense has given up big numbers to about everybody, but if the offense performs the way it did, you'll have a chance to go down there and compete, because I know Coach Bowen's going to have a scheme in place to throw a wrench in the system of UT and hold them below their typical number. And if this club can get some breaks with the takeaways, as we saw return last week, something that was a prevalent theme over the first two-thirds of the season, they got a great shot to win this one at home. And how much fun would that be? What a way to send out a coach in David Beatty, who's been nothing but class the last few weeks in the midst of all of this. I mean, imagine, you know, what he's been up against, starting with losing his job, but then, you know, coaching out the string while everybody's getting excited for the next guy, and yet he just keeps holding his head high and keeps leading his young men, and he does it because he loves this place and he loves his kids. And, you know, what a way to send him out, and what a way to honor these 30 seniors if they could somehow get it done.
All the pressure's on Texas. I like the way it sets up for a potential surprise. Let's talk a little hoops. Don't know if you were traveling or if you got a chance to see any of it. We had pretty good stuff out of Maui last night with Duke and Auburn, and then obviously Arizona and Gonzaga. You got the dream matchup going on there. You got Kansas taking on Marquette. You don't make judgments in the month of November or even too much in December because the flip of the script starts really with conference play in January in college hoops. But what does your pulse check of college basketball tell you to this point, Brian? Painting with a broad brush across all of college hoops right now. We've got some pretty damn good teams at the top of the rung, as there generally are, and in Duke you might have a special one.
Yeah, no doubt. And we thought Duke would be special, and obviously when they made the statement that they made on opening night in the Champions Classic, it was warranted that they jumped to number one. And I don't think anybody at Kansas had a problem with that internally. A, because I don't think we're truly ready for that perch and the target on your back that comes with it. Not that there isn't a target at number two, don't get me wrong, but it is kind of different when you're number one on the land. And we're such a young team with so many new faces, transfers and freshmen coming in that are still trying to find their way. And we've seen glimpses, certainly, of what they're capable of. Dietrich in the preseason, Clinton and Devon on opening night. But there's been some ups and downs along the way, too. And so I think this Kansas team has a great chance to return to number one by the time Selection Sunday rolls around. But there's going to be some ebb and flow along the way. And in the meantime, you know, the way Duke has looked to open the season, I have no problem with that whatsoever. It's been interesting to see teams that I know are going to be way better take some lumps early. We saw what happened to West Virginia in their opener. We saw how Villanova's really struggled with late. That's a team with a top 10 ranking to start the year. And I'm sure they'll be much better by the time they come in down with Fieldhouse next month. But they're still finding their way after losing so much of that national championship team. And so you're going to take some lumps. I mean, who would have thought Dietrich Lawson at this point would be looking the way he's looked in terms of the way he shot the ball and hasn't been as aggressive and attacking offensively and playing to his athleticism? This guy looked all world in the preseason. He was getting every All-American nod and magazine cover you could get, and he's still kind of finding his way. And so I think you're really astute to point out, Bruce, that it's too early to make a lot of snap judgments here. And yet we get all these top five head-to-heads. Heck, we may have another one on Friday night if things break right between Kansas and Tennessee, number two and number five. Yeah. And it's exciting, but guys, it can look way different in January or February. It's always weird when you go outside a league play for that Big 12 SEC Challenge game. But this year, going too rough like we did 2 years ago, it's almost kind of exciting because I think with a Kansas team this green and this new, it's going to look so different then compared to now. When Devon Dotson gets some hair on his chest, Quentin Grimes, you know, could shoot like he did on that opener with regularity and not just have a game like that once out of every five or six. And when Dietrich becomes the real Dietrich. Remember that Eminem song, "Will the real Slim Shady please stand up?" Well, will the real Dietrich Lawson please stand up?
I do. Bruce doesn't.
I promise.
Thank God I don't.
Yeah, no kidding. But the point is, I love Kansas now, right? But imagine how much more you're going to like him when some of these young guys really start to settle in. And sorry for the high-pitched shrill evening, man. I don't know if our hotel's on fire or what. I think it just stopped.
All right.
Hopefully that wasn't too distracting.
Marquette and KU tonight at 6. You can hear it right here on KFH. Of course, your home for the Jayhawks. Hawks open as an 8.5-point favorite, but apparently Marquette, no joke, preseason choice to finish second in the Big East. They have lost just once. As Brian alluded to, number 5 Tennessee faces Louisville in the other preseason NIT matchup on Wednesday. The Marquette so far on the season rebounding plus 8.7 rebounding margins. So that will certainly get Bill Self's attention, no doubt. And trying to get Dietrich Lawson straightened out, as you mentioned, shooting only 31.4%. But what has gotten into LeGerald Vick? He's making everything he's looked at so far.
It's been nuts, guys. You know, we've seen some great weeks before. Heck, last year, Devontae Graham had 35-point games in the same week, but the efficiency with which he shot it has been remarkable. And we talked last week right after the 8-for-8 three-point shooting night. I don't have to rehash that. But to back it up with 33, a new career high four nights later, and look like he was every bit as aggressive and hunting his shot and feeling like he was going to hit everything. The fact that there was some carryover and it wasn't just a one-week wonder, I think, or a one-game wonder, what was a great, great sight to see for a young man who has shown us glimpses in the past, but sustaining it throughout has always been difficult. Part of it has been he hasn't been asked to sustain it. And let's be very clear, you're not going to sustain the pace of 32.5 points per game like he did last week. But is he emerging as kind of the alpha dog on the floor right now? I don't know that any of us would have raised our hand and said, yeah, that's going to be him this season. I think when he came back, a lot of us thought, okay, well, that's going to be a good complimentary piece. Good to not lose all of our three-point makes from last season. At least we got a few coming back.
Right.
And he'll give us his 12 or 13 a game. Well, he's kind of looking like a guy, even conservatively projecting, that could be a 16-point-per-game side player and be your first option that you look to. Whereas I would have thought that might have been Dietrich. You know, I'm talking about late-game scenarios, who you want the ball in the hands of, that kind of thing. I would have thought that'd be Dietrich throughout the season, and it might still prove to be. But right now, the alpha dog, the aggressive guy, the one that's assertive and says, give me the damn ball and get out of my way, is LeJarrell Vick.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because it shows that he's feeling better than ever. He feels like this is his team. And again, it's not the same senior leadership that you got from Devontae or Frank Mason, but it's probably better than any of us could have imagined it would be when we first heard he might be coming back. And I think that starts with the day-in, day-out approach that he's had and just having the right mindset and bringing it strong every day. And Bill Self continues to applaud the practice player he's been, and that wasn't the case the first 3 years. And so I think it's the fruits of the labors that are coming to fruition here. It's really exciting, and hopefully this is the last of it.
You've jumped through a more than a few hoops to join us here this morning, so we appreciate that. We'll let you get back to your prep for Marquette, and you go turn off the fire alarm, okay?
I tell you what, there's never a dull moment or a quiet moment in New York City. Try sleeping.
Never.
I know you guys visited here, but the car horns are honking at 4 in the morning, and alarms are going off. People are rooting, talking loud. There's no place like home and no place like Kansas, but it is fun to come to the big city for a couple of days. Hopefully we'll come back with a couple of wins.
All right. We'll be listening tonight, 6 o'clock, KU and Marquette. Thanks a lot, Brian, and happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Happy Thanksgiving, hey. Brian.
Thankful for you guys. And thankful for our friends at the Mattress Hub as well. Check them out. Great pre-holiday season sales going on right now at themattresshub.com. Some of the best customer service, satisfaction, and selection you'll find anywhere. Themattresshub.com. Thanks, fellas.
Safe travels, Brian. Appreciate you.
Same to you.
Marquette KU tonight at 6 o'clock. Speaking of KU, getting back to the football game, if Texas does wrap up the Big 12 title game, they'll do it without its biggest supporter. Bevo 15, the famed Texas mascot, will not be on the field for Friday's game because the Jayhawks have a rule prohibiting live mascots.
And I should know this, but I had to be reminded when I heard that was the case. What's the reasoning?
I'm not sure. I mean,
I don't get it.
I mean, I'm not totally super surprised, but I don't know. It's just been a mandate.
Bevo's cool, man.
Bevo
tell you.
Is a
you get near Bevo, Ralphie at CU.
Yeah.
The Buffalo.
That's a big animal.
That's pretty damn cool. Uga.
Yeah.
At Georgia.
The Bulldog. Tennessee's got a bloodhound or something, don't they?
Yeah. Washington has their Husky. I mean, there's a lot of them that have. Bevo's cool, though, man. Bevo's pretty cool.
Bevo will miss action for a Thanksgiving week game for the second time in 73 years, according to the school.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Bevo 15 is a 3-year-old longhorn steer, part of the Texas football program since 1916. Not this one, obviously, but, you know.
right.
Been a mainstay.
That'd be a story in and of itself. There's a reason he's number 15,
yeah,
right?
And a mainstay of Thanksgiving week games. Bevo typically resides behind the end zones during football games, but he won't come Saturday morning because of a rule prohibiting live mascots.
Well, That's too bad. I'm sure that KU has its reasons, and it's at their discretion, so I respect that. But
yeah,
it's too bad.
To be clear, they didn't make the rule just for Texas. This isn't a Bevo thing. This is just a procedure thing. So they didn't implement it just for Texas.
I don't. There aren't any more live animals in the Big 12, are there?
No.
I'm just thinking real fast. I don't think there are.
Did K-State ever have a wildcat in a cage?
Not since I was involved with them.
And Colorado going to the Pac-12 took care of that.
Yes,
they did
have
Ralphie the Big Buffalo.
Yeah. So, no. Anyway. I always look for the Jayhawk at KU. I'm always so disappointed when I'm reminded that it's a mythical bird.
Real rare animal, that Jayhawk.
It's always so disappointing to me. Anyway, all right. We'll continue here in a moment, trying to make some sense out of the senseless at times. 869-1240 on the I Got It at Tad's Locker Room Hotline. That's your number. You can join the show at your convenience. Stay with us as we continue here in just a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.